1 Corinthians 16, beginning at verse 5. This is the Apostle Paul speaking through the Holy Spirit's leading. After I, Paul, go through Macedonia, I will come to you. For I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go, but he will go when he has the opportunity. And then these next two verses, which is really the main focus of this passage that we'll be focusing on this morning. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. And so far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God. Over the last generation or two, we've heard a lot about the feminist movement and the changing roles of women in our society. And that's affected our society in more ways than we realize. And one change that we often overlook is how the feminist movement has affected the outlook of men within our society. Listen to how one journalist describes it, and I quote, "A generation or two ago, life was far simpler for the North American male. More often than not, he was the family patriarch and breadwinner. His wife catered to his needs and raised his children. His word around the house was law. Not anymore. As a result of the women's movement and economic pressures, men today face a world in which macho is no longer enough. The new, improved model of male is expected to share in breadwinning and child-rearing. He's expected to be tender and tough. Where once independence and aloofness was desirable, now openness, sensitivity, and intimacy are prized. And as a result, many men are confused and searching for their identity, as they struggle to blend the vestiges of traditional masculinity with what are now regarded as more softer feminine traits." End of quote. We're living in changing times. And as men, we feel the changes. And it's particularly confusing for those of us who are fathers. As a Newsweek article said about the modern father, and again I quote, "His wife thinks he doesn't do enough. His boss thinks he's taken this fathering business too far. His parents think he looks a little odd cleaning the house and changing diapers. And the father himself, he's not sure what kind of father he should be. Most fathers have become reluctant warriors in a social revolution. He's supposed to be the new sensitive and caring man, yet he was raised to succeed in work, not at home." Again, end of quote. Check the washrooms of some of the public buildings sometime these days. Most of them now have a changing table in the men's restroom. That would have never happened 40 or 50 years ago. No doubt about it, times have changed. And fathers need to learn how to juggle career and marriage, kids and hobbies. And as a result, Many men today struggle with what it means to be a man. They're expected to be a different kind of man than what was modeled to them by their fathers or grandfathers. Bill Hybels, in his book, Honest to God, a book where I'm getting some ideas for this series, Hybels says that this cloud of confusion about authentic maleness produces two different models of masculinity. He says there's the man who's the wimp, and there's the macho man. Hybels says that the man who is a wimp is weak and indecisive and lacks confidence and drive. They're nice men, but they never create any waves. They're afraid to make decisions, and they easily give in to pressure from other people. And ironically, women who desire more rights often aren't that thrilled with these kinds of men who are wimps either. Now, the opposite is the macho man. Hybels says such men try to convince the world that they are examples of raw manhood. They dress and they walk to look tough. They drive the right vehicle and they curse and they fight. They boast about their sexual conquests like real men. The macho man flaunts his achievements, his power, property, muscles, and sexual abilities with the goal of trying to hide any suspicion of fear or self-doubt. Now, I think most of us men, we have to admit that we periodically get caught up in trying to live out this macho image. I wonder if maybe that's why some of us men take our recreational hockey or baseball so seriously. I have to admit, I used to play a little bit of hockey myself in my younger days. I wasn't the most talented player. I scored the odd goal, but what really made me feel like a real man was that crunching feeling of an opposing player getting slammed into the boards. I liked the idea of having opposing players keep their heads up when I was on the ice. And even some of the bruises and the aches that came with that, well, it was worth the pain of trying to prove my masculinity. But men will also try to prove their manhood in more subtle kinds of ways. Some men take business risks to display their macho image. Others dominate or intimidate employees, co-workers, wives, or children to prove they're strong and in control. But neither the macho man or the pushover, the man with the pushover image, is really what God had in mind when he created man. So what's God's design for true manhood? Apostle Paul provides some guidelines in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14, where he says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. And Paul, in these couple of verses here, shows what it means to live like a real man. He says, be on your guard against the world's practices and the world's way of thinking. Be alert to the corroding influences that water down your faith. We live in a world that urges us to look out for our own interests, or you'll never be ahead in this life. And our world says, so what if you need to compromise some of your moral principles to make a shady business deal or to stab someone in the back? Do whatever it takes to be a somebody. That's what our world tells us. But Paul stresses that in all our activities as Christian men, we need to let our faith commitment with God be our guiding principle. That we develop and maintain a vital relationship with God above all. And that this becomes our driving priority in life. In other words, don't apologize for your relationship with God. Or don't, and for sure, don't see it as a sign of weakness. Be strong enough to be completely devoted to God. But then interestingly, at the end of that passage, Paul then offers a second requirement to true manhood, where he says in verse 14, do everything in love. In other words, don't try to prove yourself by being macho all the time. In all your relationships, let love be your guiding principle. Learn to mix strength with sensitivity, toughness with tenderness, leadership with humility. God says, don't be fooled by the unsatisfying male images of this world. Enter into a relationship with me through my son Jesus. Allow me to guide you into an authentic manhood based on Jesus' example of courage and love. You know, I wonder sometimes if men within the church sometimes misinterpret what it means to be an authentic Christian. The Bible calls us to be imitators of Jesus. And when we think of Jesus, typically, we think of Jesus as a loving and compassionate kind of man who wouldn't hurt anyone. We think of Jesus, you know, kind of meekly giving himself up to be crucified on the cross. But when Jesus says, follow my example, that seems to go against everything our society tells us about what it means to be a man. I mean, Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek when we get into an argument. And our society says, go down fighting at all costs. Give it everything you have. And it's like Jesus almost tells us to be doormats while our society tells us, well, don't let anyone control you or run over you. I wonder sometimes if that's why so many men today are you know, kind of like fading out of the church today. Because they buy into the mistaken notion that a man needs to be a wimp to be a Christian. Now, when we see Jesus as a gentle and loving man, we need to see that that's only half of the picture. If you were here last Sunday with the first message, we saw how Jesus attacked the Jewish religious leaders for being hypocrites, and he wasn't exactly gentle with them. He was pretty stern with that. He let him have it. And Jesus also didn't just passively give himself up to be crucified as a wimp. Jesus intentionally gave himself up to his enemies so that he could face the most cruel and gruesome death of all times. When Jesus went to the cross to die for our sin, he was anything but a weakling. He refused pain relievers when he hung there on the cross with nails piercing his hands and his feet. And Jesus willingly submitted himself to this cruel suffering to spare you and me from God's punishment for our sin. We need to think of Jesus as a willing, suffering servant when we're called to follow his example as authentic Christian men in this world. We need to have the courage to stand firm in our faith without thinking about personal cost or reputation. The Christian faith isn't for men who are wimps. It's for men who dare to stand up to be counted for God. Think of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph had the opportunity for some easy sex with his boss's wife. Joseph knew that God wouldn't condone such immorality, and he refused, even though that meant going to prison for a number of years. And yet in the end, God rewarded him for his faithfulness. Or think of Daniel and his friends in the Bible. They had the courage to stand up to the Babylonian establishment, and at the risk of being thrown into a fiery furnace or the lion's den, they stood firm in their faith. God rewarded them with his protection. Such examples show a genuine masculinity, how that requires that we're man enough to admit a need for a trust relationship with the living God of the Bible. You see, weak men, they know they need God, but they just don't have the guts to step out from the crowd to place their lives under God's control. They're afraid of the unknown should they step out beyond their comfortable lifestyles. And macho men, they open their beer cans and they drive their sports cars down Independence Avenue and they pretend that they don't need anyone, God included. And they insulate themselves with the false illusions that will eventually lead them straight to a place called hell. It takes guts for a man to stand up and admit that he needs God. And it's no small thing to admit our faults and our sinful tendencies to God or to someone else. It goes 100% against the grain of our society, which tells us that a real man never admits to his weaknesses. It kills all our pride to confess our need for Jesus as Savior. It takes a real man to go against the flow of our society, to venture into the future on the basis of God's promises, on the basis of God's grace and love for us in Jesus. Now, when the Apostle Paul calls us to be men of courage who stand strong in the faith, he did so based on his own experience. You see, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians within the context of some individuals attacking him for not really being a true apostle. And Paul defends himself in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 and 4, saying, "I came to you in weakness and fear. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." And what convinced people of this Spirit's power working through Paul? What was it that convinced them? His unbelievable conviction and courage for his God. You see, Paul was anything but a wimp. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says that he was willing to make himself a fool in the eyes of the world for the sake of Jesus. He was willing to go hungry and thirsty. He was willing to go in rags and be homeless. He was brutally beaten and slandered. Paul says that he was willing to be the scum of the earth and to suffer every form of hardship, should that serve to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul says, "Be men of courage and stand firm in the faith," he called for the people of his day to follow his example. Paul urges them to follow him as he tries to follow Jesus' example as the suffering servant. Paul served out of love and thankfulness for what Jesus had done for him as his Savior and Lord. And Paul knew that God would help him through every hardship of his life. And God also wants us to put our lives and our reputations on the line for him today. God calls us to live in the security of his guiding power. And so, men, if you want to make a lasting impact in this world, you need to look away from the world's definitions of success and power. Look instead to the Bible for how God wants you to make an impact for him in this world. And so for those men, those of us who naturally tend to be somewhat timid and lacking in confidence, God urges us to take the risk in making commitments with the promise that God will provide for us despite our fears and inadequacies. And for those of us who try so hard to be macho men, God calls us to quit trying to impress people behind our masks of self-sufficiency. Look to the power of God's Spirit to help you be a man of integrity based on the principles of God's way of truth and salvation in Jesus. Dare to stand out from the crowd and do what God wants instead of what everyone else is doing. Be ready to live aggressively for God's purposes in this world. And be humble enough to admit it when you're wrong or you're afraid. For those of us who are fathers, we need to ask, what kind of mark are we leaving on our children, and especially our sons? Do we realize that our sons are watching us like hawks? You see, these sons of ours, they're trying to figure out what it means to be a man in this world. And God has placed you as the father to be their model. And I hope and pray that they notice that you've got the guts to stand up for God with a deep and uncompromising faith in the truths of God's word. But that they also see a sensitivity and a love in you that responds to the needs of other people around you. You see, sometimes it comes back to the issue of priorities. I came across some interesting words of wisdom this past week that goes like this. It's up on the screen there. It says, priorities. 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was. It will not matter the sort of house I lived in or the car that I drove. But the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child. And that's the most important way that we as men can serve our families. Children won't remember how many hours we worked, but they'll remember our sense of integrity and our commitment as a father. And our daughters need to see that also. Our daughters need to grow up with a clear vision of the kind of man who will make a good husband for them someday. And for us men who are married, we also need to ask what kind of man we are for our spouse. Every married woman wants to be loved by an authentic masculine man, a man who's strong enough to stand up for what's right, yet a man who's sensitive to God's biblical principles of unselfish love. A true man isn't domineering within the home. He admits his faults and opens himself to the correction of his wife. He serves his wife the way Christ loved and served the church in a sacrificial way. As Christian men, we need to ask, what kind of mark we're also leaving in our workplace? What kind of mark we're leaving in our neighborhood and in our church? See, our society needs men who love God deeply and men who have the humility and the confidence to serve for the good of our society. God wants us to be men who make a difference in this world for God's sake. And it takes a mature man to look beyond his own selfish interests, to serve with love and compassion for the best interests of others. Now, admittedly, this inclination to be an authentic man, that comes only when we realize the wonder of God's love and God's grace for us in Jesus. We can't do that in our own strength. We can only do that through the power and the leading of God's Spirit within us. And only God can give us the courage and the love that we need to be a difference maker for Him in our homes and in our community. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we admit that it's not easy living as authentic men in our world today. In a world where we so often feel pressured to be a macho man who's always in control and trying to look strong in our own strength, Lord, give us the courage to stand firm in our faith. Give us the courage to let our relationship with you be our guiding principle in all things. We pray that you will also work with your Holy Spirit to give us the sensitivity to serve others in a Christ-like sacrificial kind of love. Show us, Lord God, what kind of mark you want us to make within our homes, and especially with our children. Show us, Lord God, also how you want us to make a difference for you within the world that you've placed us, to make a difference for you with the integrity that we live with in our workplaces and amongst our neighbors or the people that we do recreational activities with. We pray, Lord, that you will use us to show that we are people who love you and are committed to you. And we pray, Lord God, in that way that you will use us to influence people for your kingdom purposes, that we may show the love of Jesus to others, and that we may do that in response to your grace and your love for us in Jesus. In his name we pray this. Amen.